Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Are you concerned about this series after the Caps were completely dominated in Game 1, even though the final score didn't reflect it? 301-230-0980. Come on, Caps fans. Chance for you to weigh in on the phone lines. Come on, Sheehan. You going to take some Caps calls in November and December? We're doing it now during the midst of the playoffs. 301-230-0980. How concerned, how worried are you after what you witnessed last night in Game 1? Phone lines are open. Before we get to those, let's do a quick what do you got. Yes, yeah, so there was a trade in the NFL. The Cowboys have traded for Steelers wide receiver George Pickens. He'll line up opposite CeeDee Lamb in the Cowboys offense. They traded a third rounder in next year's draft. They also sent a 2027 fifth round pick and got a 2027 sixth round pick by back from the Steelers. So on day three of the 2027 draft, when we're hanging out down on the mall on a beautiful spring day, the Cowboys will have the Steelers' sixth round pick, but the Steelers will have the Cowboys' fifth round pick. But this is an interesting trade. A couple of things that we learned from this. The Cowboys apparently would have selected McMillan, the wide receiver from Arizona, had he fallen to 12th. That was their target in the draft. They wanted Tet McMillan, the wide receiver from Arizona, to team up with CeeDee Lamb. He went to Carolina at number 8 overall. Tyler Booker was there, and the Cowboys ended up taking the best guard in the 2025 NFL draft at number 12 overall. You know, I wonder a couple of things about this. Number one is, you know, the Steelers, they don't typically get these things wrong. They know their people. George Pickens has been a bit of a problem. Let's be honest here. And, you know, this may work in Dallas for a while until Pickens isn't getting the ball, and then all hell will break loose, because once they start to feed him the ball, then CeeDee Lamb may have a problem with it. Like, there's some high-level dysfunction possibility with this deal. Remember, you know, the Steelers moved on from Antonio Brown. Remember when they absolutely fleeced the Bears in the Chase Claypool trade? They got a third rounder for the Notre Dame kid who clearly couldn't play and was a problem, and they had moved on from him quickly after drafting him in the second round. So when it comes to this kind of stuff, I think the Steelers actually know what they're doing. Remember, they traded for DK Metcalf, so they had him. But the combination of Metcalf and Pickens would have been, you know, an interesting combination for a team with a quarterback, but they don't have one right now. So on one hand, it's like Steelers typically know what they're doing in these situations. The Cowboys typically do not. There's high volatility possibility in Dallas with Pickens on that roster. And then there is this. Could Aaron Rodgers be pulling the strings behind the scenes on something like this? Maybe one of the reasons he's waited, he looks at the Pittsburgh situation and goes, I don't want to have that guy on my team. I don't want to throw to Pickens, no matter how talented he is. Trade for DK Metcalf, get rid of Pickens, let's go. They drafted Caleb Johnson. They still have Jaylen Warren. They've got Freiermuth. They've got Metcalf. Other receivers on their roster include Robert Woods from Houston, I think. And, of course, they've got a good defense. But, man, the Pittsburgh roster right now without a quarterback, this looks to be like the worst Pittsburgh team on paper, unless they are to add a quarterback they can still play. I would imagine that if it's not Rodgers, they may make a run at Cousins. I don't think they go into the season with Mason Rudolph, unless they're legitimately waiting on next year's draft and trying to tank the season to a certain degree to have a choice at better quarterbacks next year. Real quickly, one of the quarterbacks at the top of the mock drafts in 2026 is Cade Klubnik from Clemson. I don't get that at all. I've watched this dude now for two straight years. He stinks. I don't get that one at all. But there's a lot of time between now and next year's draft. So the Cowboys add Pickens. So now, remember, the Cowboys have a lot of new, talent on their roster. They added in their backfield Javonte Williams, Miles Sanders. They drafted Jaden Blue from Texas. They've now added George Pickens to CeeDee Lamb. Defensively, remember, they brought Dante Fowler back. They brought in Kenneth Murray from Tennessee, the linebacker. There's a lot going on in Dallas. That roster, when healthy, you know, if they've got Bland and Hooker and Diggs and Parsons and, you know, that dude Overshown, who really played well before he got hurt last year, they're okay on defense. Offensively, will Pickens make a difference? Will Javonte Williams or Jaden Blue be a running back, or Sanders be a running back that they haven't had in a few years? We'll see. The key, obviously, for them is Dak can't go down. Like, they don't have a backup anymore. Actually, they do. They traded for Joe Milton in New England. That's the backup quarterback they have right now. You know, after years of having Cooper Rush, you know, backing up Dak Prescott and playing pretty well, Cooper Rush is somewhere else. I can't even remember where Cooper Rush is. So there you go. Big NFL news this morning. The Cowboys, Jarrett promised a trade of substance, I think, is what he said before the draft. And you just got, you know, somewhat of a trade of substance. The big question left in the NFL right now, or there are three of them: Trey Hendrickson, Jalen Ramsey, and the quarterback in Pittsburgh. Who is it? I don't think I'm missing anything in terms of the three other big stories. You know, there are still some free agents out there. We've talked about some of them. You know, Za'Darius Smith. Others, you know, J.K. Dobbins, Nick Chubb. But in terms of the three biggest outstanding NFL storylines after the schedule comes out next week, is who's going to play quarterback in Pittsburgh? Will Trey Hendrickson re-sign or be traded? And Jalen Ramsey, where will he be traded to and for what? All right, 301-230-0980. We got a couple of callers on hold. Are you concerned about the Caps after what you witnessed last night? I said this at the beginning of the show. I'm not a hockey expert by far. We're not expert in anything that we talk about, but we have a much better handle on other things. I do anyway. But last night, any sports fan could spot a blowout that should have been reflected on the scoreboard. The Caps got outshot 94-34 in shot attempts, 33-14 shots on goal, out-hit, out-played, out-timed in the zones, in the offensive zone, 2-1. It was an ice-tilting, one-sided beatdown that was not reflected in the final score, but the team that won the game clearly deserved to win the game. Are you concerned about the Caps after game one? Are you worried that this season, this series could get away from them? Let's start with Ryland in OKC. We talked to Ryland sometimes during football season. Ryland, go ahead.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kev, hope you're doing well, buddy.
Yeah, good to hear your voice, Ryland. I know you're Canadian too. Let's get that out in front. So you've got a little bit more expertise in this area.
I've played a few games in my career, for sure. I would say I wouldn't be too concerned just because the fact of the Ovechkin factor and just the team of destiny along with that Russian gas. I would say that although you guys are saying a lot of good things about Thompson, I think he's a little bit shaky. To me, that overtime winner last night was soft.
I mean, yeah, I've played. I thought that might have been a soft goal that he let up. I asked Max that earlier. That seemed like one that is stoppable.
Oh, you have to make that save in overtime. I mean, if that was in regulation, it wouldn't be the end of the world. But in overtime, you got to get your pad down there. You can't let that one squeak through. I would just say the biggest game of the year, of course, is tomorrow night. And you can't go back down to Raleigh down 2-0. Not a chance he'll come back from that hole. But I think they just need to capitalize on their power play and start playing more downhill. I don't think shot attempts are necessarily a good thing, but in the sense of Carolina, they're just firing everything on Logan Thompson, honestly, because I think he's a little bit shaken. I think they know that. So I wouldn't be surprised if they get 85 shot attempts tomorrow, but for your guys' sake and for the capital and the district, I hope the Ovechkin can score a couple goals tomorrow night and go back to Raleigh 1-1 and steal one there and get back home ice. So good talking to you, Kev. Hope you're doing well. Oklahoma City's buzzing right now.
It's an interesting take, and I appreciate it as always, because I would not have gone with Logan Thompson look shaky. I would have gone with and did go with the only reason they had a chance in the game last night was Logan Thompson. But that's interesting.
Yeah, for sure, right?
Yeah.
And I think, I think he just looked shaky to me. Like, even in the World Cup there where he didn't make Team Canada, everybody was kind of looking at that, the roster, like, how is he not on this team? Well, watching last night, I like that overtime winner says a lot and speaks volumes, because the best goalies make the biggest saves when it matters most, and those ones just can't go through, especially if you're going to win the cup. So hopefully they can figure it out tomorrow, and he keeps putting that brick wall down so they have a chance. But root for your boys, and hope you're doing well. Kev, good talking to you, and let's go see.
Thanks,
right?
Ryland. Appreciate the call. Okay. Joe, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, what's going on?
What's up, Joe?
50-50 on this. I would not panic after last night because it's one game. However, Kevin, 93 shot attempts, what was it, 31 shot attempts for us? That is alarming. And the fact that it was only a 2-1 overtime loss for us, I mean, Kevin, the other thing about last night is that if Leonard scores, you know, he had that breakaway, and I think he mishandled the puck. If he scores there, are we talking about a victory or a loss in this situation? I don't know, but Kevin, if we go down 2-0 tomorrow night, going back to down to Carolina, I mean, who knows what happens. The playoffs, anything's possible. But, I mean, the way we got outshot last night, Ovechkin hopefully can step up. I mean, Logan Thompson, I mean, you got to give him credit. He's done everything he can for us in this postseason. I mean, last night he handled a puck in overtime that he doesn't usually saves. I mean, he's definitely wants someone back. But we'll see. But I'm not panicking yet. But if we go down 2-0 tomorrow night and we get outplayed like that again, it's definitely time to panic. For sure. So take care, Kevin.
Yeah, I would imagine being down 2-0. I mean, look, these hockey games are weird, you know, and random stuff happens. And if you're down 2-0, you just have to get one of them. And then, you know, you get game 5, and then the pressure is on Carolina to end it in game 6. It would seem, though, that this thing would be, if it looks like it did last night, tomorrow night, and instead of losing 2-1 in overtime, they lose by a score that's more reflective of the play, something like 6-1. Because that's what it felt like last night. You know, maybe not 6-1, because the quality of chances that they got, you know, weren't consistently high quality chances, but let's just say a 4-0 game or a 4-1 game, it would feel like it would be over going back to Raleigh. That's for sure. But if the Caps play much better tomorrow night, but still lose 3-2 in overtime, you'll feel a little bit better about the possibilities going back to Carolina. You know, we had Emily Kaplan on. She was great talking about some of the adjustments that Spencer Carberry is an excellent X's and O's coach, which he is known for being. So we'll see what happens. I think the thing that will, for me, in watching tomorrow night's game, okay, for a hockey novice, what will be obvious to me is Carolina spending basically the entire night in their offensive zone? If it's more split, I won't probably be able to identify what the Caps did to even up, you know, sort of offensive zone ice time. But that to me seems like an absolute requirement for tomorrow night. You can't score from, you know, behind your goaltender's net. And that's essentially where they were in their defensive, you know, posture all night long. That just doesn't seem like a great place to score from. So, I don't know, maybe there's a strategy of counterpunching and taking those opportunities on less than high-quality chances, but a lot of shot volume to turn it into a couple of two-on-ones, three-on-twos, or a Ryan Leonard situation and win that way. You know, maybe. I think it's interesting to kind of watch this sport this time of year. And I'm interested because people have told me how good Spencer Carberry is and kind of, you know, figuring things out. I'm really interested to see what it looks like tomorrow night, because last night was a massacre that was not reflected on the scoreboard. All right, Trey Amos, Washington's second-round pick. Why did he fall to the end of the second round? There's some reporting out there that may indicate the reason. I'll share that with you next.